Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
Lots of lovely reaction to Joanne. Time for one. Joanne is a trailblazer, very talented and inspiring. The Prosecco Express made me laugh hysterically at a time I really needed to laugh hysterically. Thank you, Joanne. Continued success to you. And that's from Leah in Lucan. Well, nobody looks at you the way a portraitist does, except perhaps your mother, your lover or your doctor. With these words, actor Simon Callow introduces us to the work of Belfast portrait artist Colin Davidson, whose work has featured in the National Portrait Collection of the National Gallery in Dublin. Davidson's new book, 12 Paintings, recalls the remarkable people he has studied and painted down the years, including Queen Elizabeth II, Seamus Heaney, Ed Sheeran, and some of the survivors of the Troubles. Well, 12 Paintings also draws on a series of extensive conversations Colin has had with BBC Northern Ireland broadcaster Mark Carruthers. And both Colin and Mark join me in studio. How lovely to see you both.
Hi, Maria.
Lovely
to see you.
Thank you for coming down from the wee north to come here with me this morning.
A lovely
morning
drive
live.
This morning.
Absolutely.
Listen, Mark, the two of you have been firm friends for 15 years now. How did you get to know each other?
Yeah. We have. It all goes back to the Lyric Theatre in Belfast, which you know well, yeah. Miriam. I chaired the Lyric for quite a number of years when we were redeveloping it. We knocked the old theatre down. We built a fabulous new theatre. And when we were getting to the end of the process of building the theatre, about 16 years ago, we realised we had some beautiful walls. We had wonderful Irish architects from Dublin. And we had a lot of space. We hadn't really thought about what we were going to do with that space. Mm. And at that time, a friend of mine called Colin Johnson, who's a businessman in Northern Ireland and a bit of an art collector, said, I have a really good friend who's a painter called Colin Davidson, and I think the two of you would really get on. You should meet. And Colin had done a painting of Duke Special, which featured on the front of the Irish Arts Review. It's featured in the book. And he put the two of us together, and Colin was absolutely right. We did hit it off. Colin Johnson was right, and Colin Davidson and I became firm friends. And then what we did was we worked together to really affect introductions, I suppose, for Colin Davidson to paint some of the people who were coming through the Lyric at the time. So that's where the paintings of Seamus Heaney and Liam Neeson and Kenneth Branagh and Brian Freel and a whole long list of people Colin got to meet through the association with the Lyric.
It's a beautiful book, by the way, both of you. Where did the idea for the book come from?
I mean, that came from Mark as well. I've got to say, yeah, Mark and I have done quite a lot of in conversations at arts festivals and on stage and things like that. And Mark approached me a few years ago and said, you know what, we should write some of these down. Mm-hmm. And because they tended to capture a certain spirit, a certain mood, a certain time in that room. And that was kind of a special engagement with the audience, I suppose. And that gradually morphed into, look, let's write these down and let's think about doing a book. And from there, I suppose the structure, Mark was very, very keen the whole way through it and, you know, completely right that the conversational form was kind of kept and that it was, but that it was structured in a certain way. And we decided to structure it, and this was at the start a few years ago, we decided to structure it in a way that was built around 12 key paintings in my life and in my career. So the very first conversation in the book is about a painting I did in school in 1986. And the final paintings that are in the book are actually yet to be shown in an RHA exhibition that I'm doing in a few weeks' time.
Wow.
So it's it does. It's a taking stock for me, I suppose, of where I've been and what I've done.
I mean, your achievement is remarkable. You must be one of the finest painters working in the world today. You employ a technique you describe for your portraits as telepathic. Explain that to me. What does that mean?
Yeah. I think that probably was used in the conversation with Mark. He probably drew that word out of me, actually. It's not something that I will talk about an awful lot, that about the telepathy. But I think what I was getting at was very much the fact that making any work of art, and in fact engaging with any work of art, there is a relationship that is built. Mm-hmm. And whether that's with the viewer and the work of art, or whether that's between the artist and the subject. Mm. But that beyond that, we as artists, myself, I paint what I see. I paint what hits my eyes. But there's something else that happens there. And whenever somebody is sitting for me, and in the portrait work that I've done, there is a sort of a telepathy there. There is a waiting for the moment when that person is so completely relaxed, seemingly unaware of me being in the room, and something else is communicated.
And I'm going to talk about the fact that you actually sat for Colm, but how did you connect Colm with someone as famously inscrutable as the late Queen Elizabeth?
It was a remarkable point. It was incredible, and this is where my friendship with Mark and my professional relationship with Mark comes in as well. You know, the Lyric Theatre in 2012 was host to the late Queen, and it was a Cooperation Ireland arts event that was put on to facilitate the meeting of Martin McGuinness and the late Queen, and the first time the delegation was seen on camera was whenever I was showing them my work that was there. So there was a Cooperation Ireland link. Mm. And also there was a link very much with the arts here and that seismic. You will remember her visit here in 2011, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that broke... That was seismic in... healing and warming the Anglo-Irish relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think it was felt that at the time it was appropriate for there to be a Northern Irish or an Irish painting of the late Queen. And Mark indeed was very involved with that too.
Tell me about that.
Well, Christopher, I mean, it's a long story, some of which is interesting and some of it maybe not so much. But basically, off the back of that meeting, which took place in the Lyric, and President Higgins was there as well, of course, and Colm's painted President Higgins, and that painting is in the book. We thought it might be interesting to see if the two joint patrons of Cooperation Ireland, the Queen and the President, would sit for Colm for formal portraits done through Cooperation Ireland. So Peter Sheridan, who was the chief executive, and Christopher Moran, who was the chair at the time, put a lot of work in behind the scenes, talking to whoever it is you have to talk to make that happen. And I suppose I was just involved in doing a little bit of nudging and
work,
cajoling and persuading as well, behind the scenes. And it did work. And so Colm had his famous sitting with the Queen in the yellow drawing room. And the product of that is what we see in that remarkable painting, which currently hangs in Hillsborough Castle in the drawing room there. So members of the public going on tours can see it.
Now, you sat for Colm, Mark.
Yeah.
When you're sitting there, what goes through your mind as he drew and photographed you? I mean, do you find yourself forgetting after a while that someone's studying you?
I think you probably do. I think we all, I imagine that everybody who's sitting feels uncomfortable to begin with. And I suppose I haven't sat for other portraits. Some people are very used to him for portraits. Seamus Heaney sat for a lot of portraits during his life. I mean, I haven't. And so it was unusual for me. The Queen has obviously sat for an awful lot during her lifetime. So she's well used to it, or was well used to it. It was a very unusual experience. The only thing was I was very comfortable in Colin's studio because I'd been there a lot just as a friend. And we were working on various things at various stages. But I suppose when you're there as a sitter, you know you are being studied in a way that's different. Yeah, scrutinized.
He's
is
looking
right.
at you now, yeah. actually. Like,
well,
he's
he has
still
a strange ability. I mean, Colm can do many things. He's a very good communicator and a very good talker as well. But I was terribly aware as I was sitting in that
chair that day that I was being studied in a way that maybe I wasn't normally being studied when I was talking to Colin. But he has a very good way of making you forget that, I suppose, because the conversation goes as a bit of music in the background and a bit of chit-chat. And you do forget that Colin is doing what he's doing. And then he pounces on a moment when he sees a look.
Yeah.
And he caught something in me that, you know, my kids and my wife would say, oh, Colin caught a moment there that maybe a lot of people wouldn't see, that they recognised very much.
Which is amazing.
I recognised as well. But
I love your painting of John Hume. And Colin, you describe, I suppose, painting John after he had developed dementia. Did you, could you communicate with the great John? And what elements of the conversation have lingered in your mind?
Yeah, and I'm aware of your empathy for the great man as well.
Thank you.
You know, real, real love of him in this part of the world. I suppose it was tricky. I suppose, and following on from what Mark said there is quite appropriate because, you know, we're both out of our depth in that scenario, the sitter and me. Whenever I travelled up to see John, probably about 2016, 2017, his dementia was advanced, went to Greencastle, and he sat for me and we both overlooked Loch Foyle, and it was, you know, the beautiful landscape, the sun was coming in. Pat had given John a packet of custard creams because I think she realised that he needed something that was going to get him to sit in the one place for one particular period of time. But I was very aware that we were going to be challenged in what we could talk about. But I gave him my silent testimony catalogue, which is the exhibition I did in 2015 where I painted 18 people who suffered loss through the Troubles.
Beautiful exhibition.
And thank you. And he was reading through it, and I remember a really poignant bit. And John was reading the introduction that Senator George Mitchell had written. And he read, "Introduction by Senator George Mitchell." And he looked up at me and went, "Who's he?" And I went, "John, let me tell you about who he is." And I spent 20 minutes talking to John Hume about the incredible work that he himself had done in this part of the world. I was reminding him of how critical a part he was in our peace process, and in fact that Senator George Mitchell probably would not have spent time here had it not been for John Hume. To sit and tell John Hume that was a profound privilege, but the poignancy was never lost on me as well. And that painting, I made two paintings of him actually, and Westminster asked me if I would make a painting of him as well, and he now rightly hangs with the political greats there.
Oh, yeah, Mark.
I was just going to say, Miriam, the interesting thing, and you will know because you've seen the book, Colin explains that in a very poignant and very moving way. If people aren't familiar with the painting of John Hume, they should take a look at it because Colin captures all of that in the painting.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the remarkable thing about Colin's talent as a painter is that he manages to invest so much of the emotion and so much of the narrative of someone's life in,
absolutely,
in the painting and in the way in which that person is just caught in that snapshot of a moment. And very often people say it's in the eyes. Colin has a remarkable ability to capture people's eyes. And it's almost as if you're looking into the person's soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, that John Hume story is a very, it's a very moving story. But it's in the painting. It's woven
you
in
can see
to
it.
The fabric of the painting.
Yeah,
and that's
so,
the
and
amazing
that,
thing.
You know, the interesting thing, Mark, is that, I mean, a lot of that, as you know, I can't lay claim to. You know, as I talk about painting what I see, and people can read a lot of stuff into the work. I mean, particularly with the silent testimony work, people can look at it and go, Colin, how do you paint sadness or resilience or anger or grief or trauma? The fact is, I don't. I paint what I see, and it is up to the viewer to decode that. We are incredibly sophisticated as human beings at reading the nuances of the human face, human expression. And if we can read that in a painting, that is something that requires the viewer. That is something that requires you both and anybody else who looks at a piece of art. A piece of art requires that.
But that's why it's such a beautiful book, is you have these portraits. There was a lovely, you talk about moments, you have a very moving moment with Liam Neeson, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I've no expectations. Whenever a sitting takes place, I think Mark's right. You know, there is a nervousness on both fronts, I think, and a number of sitters have expressed that to me. Here are people who are used with standing in front of a camera and performing, and suddenly there is a human being with a sketchbook sitting in front of them, looking. There is a camera there in the background as well. But Liam and I, this was 2015, and Liam had invited me to his family home in Ballymena, and I went there one winter's morning, and we sat and we chatted just about stuff, about life, about travel. And then we got talking about art, and he explained about how that he really didn't have an understanding of art until his wife introduced him to it. And obviously that was Natasha. And he became visibly moved. I could see the creases in his face changing as he was talking about her. You know, the love that was still there, but also the loss. And that painting of Liam, as a result of that, for me, became maybe a painting in some ways imbued with sadness, loss, melancholy, to an extent. But again, that is what I mean by painting what you see. I don't direct the conversation that we have. He just started to talk about art. He started to talk about her. And that was the encounter that I had with him. And to make an honest representation, an honest record of the encounter, which is really all the portraits are, required me to allow that to be woven into the fabric of the paint.
Mark, as I sit here listening to Colin, and I think, look, we're broadcasters, right? But I do feel I'm sitting in the company of greatness, because he is so incredibly talented. Did you find that working with him, doing all those interviews down the years?
Absolutely. I think you can see where I wanted to do the book.
Yeah.
And you can see where I wanted to do the book as a series of interviews, because Colin speaks so powerfully about what it is that he does. Yes, I do think Colin has a rare talent. I think, and I mean, it's worth making the point as well, there are a lot of portraits included in the book, but there are lots of other paintings, because Colin is not just a portrait painter. He paints landscape as well. And we get into those conversations and the celebration of Belfast and place and identity. But I think, in terms of Colin's greatness, I think as far as the portraits are concerned in particular, Miriam, there are lots of very good portrait painters. And I think there are lots of people who can. I couldn't do it, you couldn't do it. But there are people who can capture a likeness. But Colin takes it a level beyond that. He captures the likeness, but he then goes beyond it to capture the personality of the person. And he's talked there very movingly about Liam Neeson. You know, we don't have time to go into details about so many of them, but you know, you'll know that painting of Bill Clinton, because that is the most unpresidential painting you'll see. That is a broken man who is reflecting on his sense of engagement with the politics of Northern Ireland and his awareness of the loss that people experienced, because he was involved in working with victims, as is Colin. And again, just in that moment that Colin captured, you can see Bill Clinton as an ordinary person. There's something about the sort of democracy of Colin's work. Yeah. Everybody's equal. And the way in which Colin paints the Queen, Brad Pitt, Ed Sheeran, is exactly the same way that he paints those 18 people who suffered during the Troubles. I think that's great.
It's a magnificent book. And I feel really honoured to be sitting in your company today, Colin Davidson. You too, Mark.
Oh, Miriam.
It's a beautiful book. It's called Colin Davidson, 12 Paintings, Conversations with Mark Carruthers. It's published by Merriam Press. It's a beautiful book. Thank you both very much for coming down to chat to me today.
Thank you very much too.
Mind yourselves. We're going to take a break.